Blog Talk Radio.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings, and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in, and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, let your dog bite, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, will you don't fight, no child, no."
When I heard the news this morning that Efren was attacked by a BLM supporter, I was just dying to get him on the line live to talk about it because, unfortunately, right now in this day and age, with kind of like I think the media trying to like bring about like racial problems between whites and blacks. And they're basically saying that, you know, trying to demonize the white person as if we're automatically evil or that we have racism embedded in us, that even if we don't appear to be racist, we might just as well be racist anyway. And I just think it's a lot of trickery going on. So I'm sorry that we started a little bit late, and we do have another 45 minutes or so. So I want to go ahead and bring you on, Efren, really quickly so you could tell your story, and thanks for coming in and taking the time.
Ah, well, glad to be with you, Raquel, and yes, it was it was rather strange more than anything else, because about a week and a half ago or so, I bought at a police store, I bought a shirt of the American flag that's like in blue and black. It's for like Blue Lives Matter. It's support the cops. I don't go around and put that in anybody's face, but I was wearing that shirt yesterday. And when I was at a bus stop, there was a guy with two other guys, and he approached me and he turned around, looked at my shirt, and then he took a swing at me. You know, I guess he had saw. He was waiting at the bus, and then he saw, and he took a punch at me, and then he says that, you know, Black Lives Matter don't like that. Now, I don't know if he was with the organization or he was just being, you know, on his own. But what I will tell you is this. When he hit me, he punched me, and then my cane fell, and then he took the cane, and then he started swinging at me, hitting me on my left leg. I didn't get hurt on the leg, but I got the cane back. And then I pushed him, and then I, you know, he lunged at me, and then I just started whacking him with the cane because he hit me three times hard with the cane. I didn't, you know, I have a little bruise on my thigh, but it wasn't like anything that I needed to go to the hospital. But this guy was crazy, and he was enraged because I was wearing the shirt. And, you know, about –
That's a hate crime. That's purposefully, that I think that would be defined as a hate crime, wouldn't it?
Right. Yes, it is a hate crime. So the police, they're aware of it. They're looking for him because this happened at a bus stop. It wasn't a bus shelter. It was a regular bus stop. So they're looking, and they're going to take a look at cameras to see if they can find and get a picture of him. But he had kept going up Tremont Avenue, and it looked like, because when I was looking at him, it looked like him and his friends had just gotten in the taxi and went. But they're looking into it because, as you know, taxis, they have cameras in the taxis, so they can verify, but they have to. But, the tension right now is so bad here in New York that just wearing a shirt supporting the police, I do support the police, that you're seeing these types of things. Now, at pro-cop rallies, you're having Black Lives Matter go to pro-cop rallies. I don't know why they're at a pro-cop rally. If it's a pro-cop rally, then they should just stay away. Like I tell pro-cop people, stay away from Black Lives Matter rallies. Because I believe if one group is going to exercise their First Amendment right, the other group should exercise it. But don't be counter-protesting, because now you're going actually against the First Amendment. None of your business what people are rooting for cops for. It's not your rally. Same thing what I was telling people. If people hate the cops so much and they're protesting, leave them alone, because this is what they want. The media wants to see hate. They want to see violence, because then they make money off of that. And because of all the rhetoric from the mayor and the governor, probably two of the worst elected officials I have ever seen in the history of New York. Unbelievable. I thought A.B. was the worst. But they're the ones that actually promoted this, by the way. You know, like, you can't get a permit to have a parade in New York City, but if Black Lives Matter wants to go around and protest, they can do whatever they want. That's what exactly what the mayor said. And I'm like, I don't believe this. So I'm not surprised that this guy attacked me, because I was walking with my shirt. It was very visible. I wasn't wearing a jacket over it because it's summertime. So you could see that it's a pretty big emblem of the American flag. And it's in blue, black, and dark blue. And no, I walk around with it, and I was heading over to Morris Park. And for some reason, Raquel, Morris Park is the epicenter right now for this protest, that they want to have a protest at Loretto Park in the Bronx. Now, I do not condone anybody hitting me. I will hit them back. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're Latino. But if you hit me and I will punch. If a female protester did that to me, I would have punched her back too. You know, because violence, I don't.
Right. I mean,
I
that's at a point. You're getting hit with a cane. Now you're acting in self defense,
and
you have
I
every right to, Ephraim.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, this cane is for me. You know, at first I tell him, give me that damn cane back, and then he started whacking me with it. And so when I got it back from him, I started whacking him. And when I hit him in the face, he said that I was a racist because I busted his lip. This is exactly what he said. He said, "You're nothing but a white." He didn't know I was Latino. And then I told him, I said, no, I'm, it doesn't really matter though. You're attacking me because I'm wearing this shirt. But this is what's been going on. And there have been other attacks in New York. It's been crazy. And then I'm hearing now that a woman who said all lives matter was shot by Black Lives Matter. And then the family that's putting up a page in her honor, Black Lives Matter is attacking her. So this is really a hate group. I hate to say it, but it's not a civil rights group. It's more of there's an agenda behind it. But, you know, getting hit, I hit back. I don't care how big the guy is. You could be a big, tall black guy. If you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. We're going to rumble. And once he knew that I was fighting back, he called me a racist. He said, "Why are you hitting me?" His lip was bleeding, by the way. So when I hit him with my cane, I poked it in his mouth, and I kept poking it, and I hit him hard because I let him
You have no other choice. You know,
because this guy was bigger than me. He was bigger than me.
I was not looking for anything. Yeah. I like the fact that you brought up the part about the governor and the mayor of New York City, because I do agree with you that their actions are basically instigating these hate crimes against those of us who are doing nothing wrong. And they're basically instigating it because they're giving the Black Lives Matter group their own, you know, free go, do whatever you want. And then they're not telling this side of the story of the New Yorkers that support the police. We need the police. There are criminals out there. 911, I mean, there's a reason why there's the police department, the NYPD. And we pay, you know, taxes for that service.
Yeah.
And the people who aren't committing crimes like the police and respect the police. And we don't, you know, I don't think, you know, I'm a New Yorker too. I don't think it's the governor's and the mayor's position to instigate. I think they should be called out on being instigators, and I'm glad that you did that.
Yeah, I really think that. Well, first of all, I think the mayor of New York should resign because he turned on the police. Crime went up. Now he's saying that he wants to, but he took away anti-crime. That was not the police commissioner's call. You know, a lot of people have to understand this. You know, and I've been around. The mayor told him to pull anti-crime. You know, the commissioner is saying that he made the call. No, that was the mayor. No mayor who is a real good mayor would ever pull anti-crime. This was a political motivated move that harmed our city. And I'm here in New York City, five boroughs. And anyone who visits the city, crime is up. Shootings are up almost 230% since a year ago, and the numbers are staggering of the amount of people that are getting shot. And at this rate, Raquel, I could literally see 700 to 800 people being shot just before the new year comes. That's how bad it is, because you don't have a police force now that can actually go out and pull guns off the street. And so you're seeing how good anti-crime was by the fact that of all the shootings. And now the criminals are emboldened. And then you've got this rhetoric with Black Lives Matter. I'm going to be honest with you. They were discussing a lot of things within the criminal justice system in Brooklyn with cold cases where they were exonerating people, like sort of like an innocence project. But that's in the courtroom. And then if they had individual police officers that were doing things, it's up to the prosecutor to fact-checked everything. And what was happening, Raquel, was that we found out that under Charles Hines, who was the prosecutor for many years when you were in New York and then when you left, that Charles Hines had people in the prosecutor's office that were just going along with what anything was presented to them, and they were withholding evidence and whatever just to get a conviction. That has nothing to do with really the police officers that pick up somebody in the street. It's more of a detective in between prosecutors. What's happening now is that they're attacking every single police officer. I never said that there were no bad cops out there, but don't tell me that out of 38,000, that all 38,000 are not doing their job. And it's a problem because the mayor, who has a police detail, endangered the city with this rhetoric. Because right now, a mother can't walk down the street to get an ice cream with their child and not worry about getting shot. Because you cannot have, Raquel, this notion that the people and social workers and community are going to solve crime themselves. It's just never happened before. And this is why we are having the chaos that we're having. This is why we're having the violence. This is why New York City is going down because of progressives and socialists. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, nobody's going to want to go there. Even after the pandemic is over or not as bad as, you know, it is now.
You're right.
Even then, who's going to want to go back to New York? And, of course, people are leaving in droves, including businesses. And it just becomes, you know, like a hellhole. So nobody wants to go there. It hurts the city tremendously. And the other thing that I'm concerned about is the morale of the police department and also the ability to recruit young, good men and women to the police department. So we're going to lose all of that. We're going to lose recruits. We're going to lose good police officers. Police officers are also retiring at a record high right now. I wonder why. It's this whole morale issue that I don't think anybody's talking about. So, like, long term, what the mayor just said is, you know what? This, you know, rogue group, self-described as Marxist-trained, you know, so they're communists. They want to transform this country out of the constitutional republic into something that looks more like Cuba or communist China, maybe. I'm not sure. And just giving them a free ride. The long-term effects of this are detrimental to the city as a whole. And even just looking at the morale of the police department, who's going to want to join the police? Do you want to join the police now? What about cadets that studied and trained, got through schooling and everything, and they were turned away? They weren't allowed to become, you know, go on the force. I mean, sometimes you have generations and generations of police officers, and now what are their children going to do? Well, I don't want to get shot at. Why would I want to be a police officer? You know what I mean? It's just the long-term effects of these terrible policy decisions by the leaders, you know, the people making the decision. I don't know what they're thinking. They want criminals to run the city?
Well, I think that what it is it's an agenda that is nationally driven to, they want to change and eliminate our history. And what they want to do is they want these cities that are infested with people that, you know, that they want to stick their hand out and live off the government so they can control them. Unfortunately, in New York, those are the minorities. Only about 40% of minorities are actually middle class. Everybody else is either tied to a government program or whatever. It's one of the problems as I've been growing up that I always wondered about why elected officials in poor communities never wanted to shake things up and change things, never wanted to educate people. And in a lot of ways, it's because they want to keep them young, dumb, and eventually they turn old, but then they're reliant. And it does have a very bad effect on people because right now, Raquel, if you look at Queens was decimated in Elmhurst with COVID. They lost about 4,000 to 5,000 people there, maybe more. And what's happened now is who's going to come in and be the taxpayer to support every zip code in New York City has to support every community board should be able to hold its own. That's not the case. And right now the burden on taxpaying New Yorkers to people who are living as and I call them if you're healthy to work and you refuse to go out and work, and I look at you as a freeloader. I don't care what color you are. I've told that to Black Lives Matter. You got to stop promoting the dependency because they're angry at the government. They're angry at the police, but they don't want to look at their own community and say, well, hey, get yourself together, because I don't go into your neighborhood and mess with you. But why is it that your people have to be dependent on the government? Well, it is a contagious thing, Raquel, but this is what's happening. Right now, the census numbers in zip codes with the median income of 80,000 or higher are actually so low, because I don't think those people are coming back. And this is the problem. Those are the people that are going to take care of the rest of the city, because the poor communities can't afford to, they just don't make enough tax money. You can't have a community where 30% of the people are on public assistance, and then you've got seniors that are not working anymore that are struggling, and then you've got a workforce of maybe only 40%, 30%, but they make under $45,000 a year. That community is going to have a lot of problems. But if you have too much of that, then it becomes a burden on the taxpayers of New York. Well, right now we don't have any money, and people are saying that they're not coming back to New York. People have fled to Florida, and people have fled to other states, and I don't think they're coming back. So the socialist programs, and we're going to tax the rich, they're not going to be able to tax the rich, because the rich aren't going to be coming back. And so this is the problem that we have right now.
Oh, that is spot on. That's so true. Yeah. And the numbers show it. So people have been leaving New York City, including Donald Trump. He took his I know he still has Trump Towers in the city, but he took his business and he moved to Florida to get out of the wrangling of the governor and also the mayor.
Right.
I departed New York City. I was there for a few months and a couple of months, and I'm back. I'm in New York State. I'm upstate New York. But I'm having major doubts about going back to Queens. Number one, I don't know if the schools are going to be open for the kids. And that's kind of like my main priority right now. My kids miss school terribly. It's been really hard on them, and I'm sure a lot of other kids. They just need to get back in the classroom. They're not high risk. We're not seeing huge numbers of kids catching the virus. In fact, Ephraim, I read that because the death toll has decreased so much that we're not even at pandemic levels on a nationwide basis. We're not even on a pandemic level anymore. But I think, and I want your opinion on this, I think that the Democrat Party as a whole are really using the COVID to just kind of drag this along. They want people to be unemployed. They want people to be fighting in the streets because they want to take Donald Trump down. What do you think?
Well, I believe that you are right about that, but I think that it's actually helping Donald Trump, because when people look on TV around the important states when you decide a presidential election, New York doesn't decide an election. That's why I had to put down one of most supporters. I tell them, you know, you're wasting your time, because New York doesn't ever factor in the election. And what I want you to know is that the president will just say, do you want your country to look like that? So I think what happened was that if you present it, the president will talk about it, but he's going to talk about it not the way you spun it, but the way he sees it. And this is the problem. They gave ammunition to the president. They don't, because now, from now on, the longer that the city, he's going to say, well, how could they run an economy better than me when their economy is in shambles? Because if you really look at it, the president already told the Minnesota governor, you're not getting any money to fix your bridges. You're going to have to fix your bridges. And the reason why I believe he did that is because he knew this was all a dog and pony show. So, yeah, we had COVID, but that was man-made. That wasn't no natural thing. Somebody put that there deliberately to this country. I even believe that, even though they said it was from China, I believe that they had people passing it along here in the United States. It was deliberate. And that's why now it's happening in these other states. And I believe this is an agenda. We'll get people tested positive. Some people will die. We'll get the economy down. But really the objective here is for them that they want to win in November. But Raquel, I can be honest with you. I always am a straight shooter politically. The Democrats are in big trouble because they shot their load, and the president is going to, more than likely, he might even win more than what I even think he might win. People, there's a silent majority here that they're just not buying this. And you have to remember.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Right,
I want your opinion on Joe Biden as a Democratic presidential candidate.
Well, I think that he is the I think he does have dementia. He's old. And I think he's sick. I think they're just using him. A lot of these protests, as you know, that the Justice Department was they forced Hillary Clinton to testify and members of the Obama administration regarding Benghazi and regarding the email scandal. A lot of people didn't know that that was going on. They'll probably indict a couple of people. They may not be the hot top people. But now this thing with Epstein's cohort, Maxwell.
Giselle,
yeah. What's going to happen there is that I think that that's going to be released. It's going to be mind-boggling, and I think several members of government are going to be exposed by that. Now, that could have just been that the president and the Justice Department just figured, you know what, we might as well just – and the timing could not have been better, because right now, with all this scandal, it's going to be very hard for the Democrats to recover, especially if there's a tape of, you know, who knows, of Bill Clinton, whatever. It's going to be very damaging. Like, we have a lot of people that – but when you see it on a tape, and these are kids that were molested, we don't even know who's in that tape. But what I think people have to understand is that those who were very close to Epstein are going to be exposed, and it could be a game changer. I still see the country as, you know, look, this economy was doing very well up until COVID. I don't know if people are going to blame the president for the economy, and I think this is what the Democrats, they get angry. They're thinking that because everything tanked this year, that it was the president's fault. No, I think that it was part of a conspiracy. And I think the Bill Gates and the George Soros, okay. But the country, when you're judged on a presidency, you're not judged on the election year only. They look back at everything. And I just think that the people and the voters in the states that matter probably don't want radical leftists having Black Lives Matter people running around looting and Antifa looting in their city. They probably don't want leaders that are going to allow that. So I think the advantage is going to be that the president will probably still win, and you're going to see them go crazy. And then I think, Raquel, you're going to see people look at these progressives, and they're going to say, do we really need this nonsense? Maybe we should go to the middle. Because I really think that they went too far with all these antics. Okay? And, you know, in my case, when I was talking about Black Lives Matter, is that Black Lives Matter is funded by white people. It's not really funded. Maybe there may be a few black donors. Whoever is the donor of that company is the owner of that company. So I know that they were built when the George Zimmerman thing happened, whatever, but that was funded by Soros. Like, they get their money from them. So you got to watch who's giving money. And Soros is a bad character. And I just want to tell that to people, because Soros had nothing to do with the Black Panther Party. Soros, you know, this is not a generic, natural occurrence with that organization. And they got a lot of people that are in there to do this because they're paid by the hour. Look, it happens. But for us to say that that's the way that America, no, that they're tearing down statues. One of them tore down a Frederick Douglass statue. They don't even know who Frederick Douglass was. They didn't even understand, because, you know, when you get the text message and you say, okay, go to that square and tear the statue, that's the type of movement that it is, you know, and I think people should understand that. This is an operation, and we have to be very careful, because they've taken young minds and they have triggered them. And in old Nazi Germany, they were taught without cell phones, of course, to burn Bibles, to eliminate the history so that people won't know. This is very strange, but it's very subtle difference in terms of errors. But the objective there was to brainwash. and those who resisted, they would die. And that's why I say you got to watch progressives, because they'll do the same thing as Hitler. Like when they imposed COVID, COVID was designed and patented for a vaccine by Bill Gates. He wants the vaccine. So I don't know what's going on here. Why would you need a vaccine if if this virus, you didn't know what this virus was unless they already knew what they were going to do and they were ready to come in there and do the kill. So what if about 15, 20 million people die? Let's get the virus, because it's about the money. You know, the CDC controls the patents on so many, like the president's fighting that. And then you find out the deep state. And Fauci was giving money to that lab. We got to look at who's funding who and what their objectives are. Even the political organizations that say, well, we're fighting. No, well, you're being funded and paid to fight. Why would you send 3 busloads of people to an pro-cop rally unless you were looking for trouble? You're not trying to make life better. You don't want people to like the police. Why? Because you want people to be against the country, the government, our way of life. And this is what's happening all over the country. So I don't know if it's going to work well for the Democrats.
I agree with you. I think it does backfire on them, because people can see with their own eyes and they can come to their own conclusions. What do you think about the mainstream media, the CNNs, MSNBCs of the world? They're out there just pretending that the BLM is just this peaceful protest, largely peaceful protest, and they have a right to do that. And, oh, no, scientists are saying that, yeah, those protests, no worries. They're not going to catch COVID because the issue of police brutality is more important. Oh, but don't go protest the idea that you're limiting our liberties, and we don't want you to do that. So the government shouldn't really be telling, in a free country, they shouldn't be telling us that we can't build a business, that we can or we can't do certain things. And it's right smack in the front, in everybody's face, but the media is just in this like alternate universe or something. How far deep is the media in the same agenda? And are they actually, I mean, it looks like to me at least that they have brainwashed a good portion of the population already.
Well, that is their job, because they do that very well. And that's what was spoken about in the 50s and 60s, because everything we're seeing, somebody had thought about how much of power and mind control, even the CIA, when they were doing LSD and they had people falling out of windows because they were told to. It's brainwashing. Well, here with the TV, whatever they're telling you, people are told, well, if you watch this, this is the way it is. And they edit and they promote. And the objective here is that now the Washington Redskins are going to change their name. We don't want the word Redskins. It's racist. But then nobody talks about the fact that an organization that paid their taxes, that the naming of the Redskins, I believe there were Indians that were part of that discussion, and that was years ago. No, we don't remember that, because we're telling you that that's not the history. We're going to do it this way. Well, the media on Sunday morning talk shows is all stacked against the president, okay? Even Fox News has a couple of wishy-washy people. What I'm just saying is that the more people that work in media that are tied to political campaigns, and they were tied to the Hillary Clinton campaign, it was unbelievable. George Stephanopoulos, whatever, you got to look at who the parent company is. ABC is a lefty, liberal, communist station. If people don't know that, then they're not, their eyes are not open. But they promote everything. I don't know if you remember, when Joe Biden went on The View, he couldn't say that he didn't touch the woman, Reed. He couldn't deny it. It was scary, because they're all sitting there with him. And if it was me, they would have jumped all over me. How come you can't say that, Ephraim? Come on. But no, they look dumb, because they're sitting there and he looks guilty. I could tell you that women remember those things. But sometimes it's not always so brainwash oriented, because sometimes they do it too much. So we've had the COVID. He comes out, then he tells people, well, if you don't vote for me and you're black, you ain't black. And I'm like, you know, we got to remember that this was a man who was into segregation in the 1970s. He wanted blacks not to be bused into white communities. I mean, you know, a lot of shit can come out. But I think a lot of people got to be careful here, Raquel, because right now they're not only just getting it on the news channels, they're getting it on the radio. There is money being pumped in to go against one narrative, and that is to beat Trump. But they're not telling you the truth. They're lying. And it's staged, and it's stacked. And it's scary because there are so many people that believe it. We're talking, you and I, right now. And people are listening, and they will listen. It's a podcast. But I'm going to tell you something. There are people that listen, and if I told you that 2 and 2 was 5, they'd actually believe it. That's what's scary of people who don't, and people are not reading the newspapers anymore. It's a lost art. Getting a paper and reading it and reading it 2 or 3 times and reading when the Times was the Times, and we don't have the Village Voice like we had before. You know, you get in there, you read, and then you read the Independent, and what do they have to say? You know, see, someone like you would do that because you always search for facts. I always love to look for the facts. The problem is it accessible? And what it is now you can get CNN and MSNBC on your phone. It is addictive, and some people don't get off their phone. Some people hold on to their phone more than their lover. That's how addictive it is. If my phone had a picture of Marilyn Monroe, it'd probably be the most beautiful phone I ever had in my life. But I'm not that addicted. What I'm just saying is there are people that are addicted, and they listen.
I want to point out one other thing is that I think that the media are doing such a terrible job with telling the truth. And I want to know how we, people like you and I, who do present the facts, how do you think that we can broadcast this information as far as possible so that the people who are glued to their phones, glued to CNN and, you know, buying all the 2 plus 2 equals 5 pieces and the hate Trump people, how do we reach them at this point?
Well, I will recommend this. Whenever you see a reporter interviewing someone, if you could step to the side away from the camera and you could record that interview and you keep a copy. This is what I always tell people. It's not always the interview. It's not always the camera. It's always what the spin is and who edits it. And a lot of times they'll do a soundbite, but you never really clearly get the information of what that person was trying to say. Sometimes you do, but most times you don't. And so if we had more fact checkers out there, that when ABC News was filming somebody and they were filming the president, just film what he tells them. But film the whole thing. Don't turn off your camera and don't stop recording until it's over, if you ever have that privilege. Because, you know, what they do is they'll put the bite that they want to their advantage of their spin, but they're not telling you the whole story. That's why I always post on my Facebook. I post a lot of the press conferences live. It's very hard to edit live. Once the whole thing is up there, the media doesn't like that. You notice they'll pull away from the press conference because they don't like to hear the president talk, and then he's saying something that they don't like. You know, they try to make him look like he's incompetent, but in a lot of ways, it's that he challenges the media right back. And that's something that I haven't seen many elected officials ever do very well. You know, and so sort of like Bob Knight from the Indiana Hoosiers when he was a basketball coach, where he used to get into it with some of the sports reporters. But sometimes you got to do that, Raquel, because sometimes you've got this agenda where we're going to do the spin. Listen to the question. Boom, boom, boom. Now watch what the back page says. Okay? Watch what they say when they do the soundbite in the commercial before the sports report comes. Watch before whatever. Watch the soundbite, because the soundbite is going to be the grabber. But when they put it out there, what are they actually telling you? And to whose advantage? Did you want the truth, or was this that you're just going to dump Trump? Because, you know, Trump is fighting everybody in Washington. I mean, it's unbelievable, because there's a lot of enemies there. But it's like you can't fight it by yourself. Now he's got a great press secretary, but she challenges it back.
Yes, fantastic. very, very good.
He was forced to do that. You know, it's a lot. She's a lot like you, Raquel, because you will never give up on a story if you know it's a story. So you won't just say,
Thank you so much.
Right.
That's a great compliment. Ethan, we do have to close out a little early because there's a show coming up on the same channel starting at 9 p.m. So if you can, just give me like your last word and also let the listeners know where they can find you if they want to follow your page and stuff like that.
Okay. Last word. Well, first I'll just say that it was great talking with you. Eventually, I may make my way up to upstate to see you, Raquel, because I know it's very important that we have to do that. And I could only imagine.
That would be great. I would love it. You're welcome anytime.
I can imagine what the walls are going to say, because even the mosquitoes will stop and say, "Oh my gosh, this was a great, great, great conversation." But that's what we have to do. Last word is keep striving. I want people to keep their eyes open. Watch press conferences and then watch press conferences between blue state governors and other blue state governors and look to see if you see similarities in terms of the timing, what time of the day they come. Just keep your eyes open because I really believe that this is just a script that they're going by. The other thing is with the president is he never was perfect, but then again, he'd be the first to tell you. It is difficult, but you need a president that's going to be able to keep our economy going, that already has a good plan, that is not going to let chaos take over. So, you know, I think that cooler heads prevail. I think that President Trump will probably be in the driver's seat to win again. And then the other thing, Raquel, is for people to get their kids back to school. Children rarely have died of COVID, you know, so I don't want them to be alarmed. They're mostly worried about the teachers and the faculty. Going back to school, socially distancing, but eventually we have to get back to normal. You can find me on Facebook, Ephraim Gonzalez, and I'm probably one of the first ones. I get a lot of hits. I've caused a lot. Some people say I'm very controversial. Being a Blue Dog Democrat, I stand out more. If I was in a bar with a bunch of socialists or progressives, I probably would glow because I'm so different than them. But I am just a regular guy. But the thing is that it's been very bad with the left, Raquel, very bad. And this is something that I don't think any of our kids should ever find acceptable, just a very bad year. And the antics that were going on, and we really need to get our country back, and not the way that they're saying we do. We need to get back and work with the Constitution. And if we don't like certain things, we have to get to the table and negotiate. Okay, this whole thing of looting and whatever, it's not us. That's not how this country was built. This is a country that came together. This is not a country that disbanded. And so we have to. That's what we have to do.
Oh, I agree with that. And remember, everybody, politics is the art of communication. So if you're in a political position, you have to convey your ideas through communication, not through violence and not through threats and not through lies. You just have to be, if your ideas are so good, then learn how to communicate them better. And I think that that's, you know, the American way. It's debate is fine. Disagreement is fine. But the attacks on Trump and not just Trump, it's his supporters too.
Right,
so the attacks on Trump's support is really far out there. You know, I'm tired of it. but thank you so much. I do got to close out, Ephraim. Thank you so much for coming on. And one last question. Do you think that you might want to come back and do a show with me?
Yeah.
Sooner or later?
I'll be in touch with you and we'll do it.
I'm dying to get you back.
I'll definitely let you know. Just one more thing real quick. Loretto Park in Morris Park, they want to do a protest. They said tomorrow, but I think it's going to be the July 28th, where Black Lives Matter wants to protest at that park because a week and a half ago, pro-cop rally was there, and they said that the pro-cop people were being racist. No, the pro-cop people are not racist. Outsiders went in to agitate. Loretto Park was named after Alfred Loretto, who died living on Herring Avenue, a couple of blocks from the park. In 1950, he prevented or tried to prevent a kidnapping of one of his neighbors, and they named that park after him after he died. So There is no way that we can have hate at
See, that's
park.
Not communicating.
That's
yeah,
not
that's not communicating
well,
your idea.
I'll send you more about it, and hopefully we can get people to go on and talk about him one day and talk about what really goes on in Morris Park. Because I think it's important because
okay, we will.
They're looking,
we
right,
definitely
they're looking
plan
for
that
areas
out.
To go after people. They're looking to neighborhoods to say, okay, these white people live here, so they must be bad people. And I don't like that. So.
Me neither. Yeah. Okay, I saw your Facebook Live today. It was very interesting. So keep up the good work, Ephraim, and we'll be in touch. God
yes,
bless you and
God
take care of yourself.
Take
be
care.
Safe.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening in. And thank you, Dallas Sidman, for doing the board and the engineering the show. God bless you all and good night.
Take care, Dallas. Bye-bye.